Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Ruth and the chapter number 4, the fourth chapter of the book of Ruth. And we commence reading there at the verse number 1. Let's follow the reading of God's infallible word. Then went Boaz up to the gate and set him down there. And behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, Ho, such an one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, Sit ye down here. And they sat down. And he said unto the kinsman, Naomi, that is come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land, which was our brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, Buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me that I may know, for there is none to redeem it beside thee, and I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem it. Then said Boaz, What day thou buyest the field of the land, or the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Now this was the manner in the former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing, for to confirm all things. A man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor, and this was a testimony in Israel. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, Buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. And Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, Ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of his place. Ye are witnesses this day. And all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, We are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that is come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah, which two did build the house of Israel, and do thou worthily in Ephrathah, and be famous in Bethlehem. And let thy house be like the house of Pharaoh, whom Tamar bare unto Judah, of the seed which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And he went in unto her, and the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. The woman said unto Naomi, Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, a nourisher of thine old age, for thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than 7 sons, had borne him. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nurse unto it. And the woman, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, This is a son born to Naomi. And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Amen. And we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his word. Let's pray together, please. Heavenly Father, this is thy word. And I pray, Lord, today more than anything else, that our eyes will get upon the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee that all that has been done in this place over this past 50 years is to thee and to thee alone all the glory ascribed. We pray, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that thou wilt take the glory, that thou wilt take the praise, that thou wilt take the worship of our hearts. And so, Lord, we pray that you bless thy word now as we study it together. May we see Christ in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, last Lord's Day morning, I was looking at the third chapter of the book of Ruth. And as this is the last morning message here in this congregation, I want you to remember more than anything else, I want you to remember our Savior. I want you to get your eye upon Him. And therefore, I want us to take a quick canter, because this is the last message. I want us to just take the rest of this book as God gives me help. Now, we were in the third chapter of the book of Ruth last Lord's Day morning, and we noticed the recognition. Naomi saw clearly that the answer to her prayer and the need of Ruth was none other than Boaz. We saw also the readiness, because Naomi instructed Ruth how she must make herself ready to go into the presence of Boaz as he lay on the threshing floor. We spoke of the cleansing. We spoke of the consecration. We spoke of the clothing. We spoke of the commitment. And then we looked at the conduct, because she was to watch where he lay down. And then she was to go there, and she was to uncover his feet. And then she was to wait. She was to wait because Naomi said, "He will tell thee what thou shalt do." And I trust and pray that God will help us, congregation, to wait upon the Lord. And He will tell you what to do in the days to come, the things that will honor Him and will glorify Him alone. We notice also in verse number 5 of chapter 3, the resolve. Because the Bible says, "And Ruth said unto Naomi, all that thou sayest unto me, I will do." And so therefore she said all, not some, but everything that Naomi instructed Ruth to do, she says, "I will do it." And I trust and pray that that's what you will do. All that the Lord will tell you, do it, and do it with all your heart. The Bible tells, not only did she say, "I will do it," but verse 6, "And she went down onto the floor." In other words, she did it. And the Bible says in verse number 7, the end of it says, "She came softly and uncovered his feet, and she laid her down." In other words, everything she was told to do, she did it. She wasn't trying to make an exhibition of herself. She did it softly. And then she waited at his feet. And then we come to verse number 8, and we find the reaction. It says, "It came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet." At midnight, something disturbed his sleep. I believe it was the hand of providence that disturbed him at midnight in the darkness of the night. The Bible says that he was afraid. In other words, he was alarmed. He was terrified. He was perplexed. He was troubled. He sensed that there was someone at his feet, and so therefore he turned himself around, and behold, in other words, he was surprised. He was surprised, taken by surprise, because a woman lay by his feet. Now notice his reaction. The Bible says in verse number 9, "And he said, Who art thou?" You see, friend, it was in midnight. It was the darkest part of the night. And he was afraid, and he simply asked a question because he couldn't see who it was. He said, "Who art thou?" But then notice the answer. It says, and she answered, "I am Ruth, thine handmaid." She immediately revealed her identity in humility, acknowledging that she was his handmaid. She was his maidservant. In other words, one who was willing to submit her will to the master's will. And that's what this congregation must always remember to do. Submit your will to the master's will. Because there is only one master here, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only king and the head of the church. Whenever she was asked a question in chapter 2 who she was, you know what she answered Ruth, or she answered Boaz? She says, "I'm a stranger." But no, she doesn't say that now. She says, "I'm your handmaid."
I'm your handmaid. She was come to his feet for a purpose. I am thine handmaid, submitting myself completely unto you. And then she said this, for thou art a near kinsman. What was she saying there? She was saying to him, she had come with a purpose, and now she's revealing what the purpose is. Whenever it says that she took there and she asked him to spread his skirt upon her. To spread his skirt. What that was meaning this was this. She was asking him as the near kinsman to claim her as his own. She was requesting that he would decide to take her to be his wife. That she was asking. That was the purpose she came for. Friend, let me tell you, when you come to the Lord, and if it's a purpose of coming to God, then would you tell it to him? But she came humbly. She says, I'm your handmaid. And then she opened up her heart, and she was calling on Boaz to act as kinsman redeemer, acknowledging, she said these words, for thou art a near kinsman. Thou art a near kinsman. Therefore, spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid. In other words, claim me as your own. I have come with that purpose because I know that God has led me to this point. And then quickly look at verse 10. Notice the reassurance. Immediately it says, and he said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter. Notice he didn't say handmaid. He said, my daughter. In other words, it was a term of affection. And I believe what he was saying was this. It says, blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter. He was acknowledging the hand of providence in this whole thing. He was acknowledging the sovereignty of God and how that God's providential hand had been in this whole thing. And friend, before God, I believe that I see the hand of providence. I see the hand of God in the midst of this whole situation, even at this moment. There was not a moment's hesitation in Boaz's speech or in his mind than the response that he gave. He fully understood her request. And this is what he said, for thou hast shown more kindness in latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. What was he saying? Listen, the beginning, the kindness which she showed it to Naomi in leaving her father's house and going with Naomi. But now she is willing, instead of marrying some rich young man or even some poor young man because of his beauty, she was willing to marry him. She was willing to give the rest of her life over to him. And he comforts her. He allays her concern. You see, friend, listen, it was night. She couldn't see his face. But you know what allayed her fears? She heard his voice. She heard his voice. And friend, there are times in our lives that we cannot see. We cannot see the way ahead. But whenever we are sensitive to hear his voice, and when you know that God's saying, this is my way, walk ye in it. Why, that can allay our fears. That can give us a tremendous comfort. And you know, this young woman had a tremendous testimony. Look at verse number 11. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest. I am willing to be your hand, your kinsman redeemer. For all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. You have a godly testimony, Ruth. And he was honored to become her kinsman redeemer. They had witnessed her conduct. But then notice the revelation. Because you see, Boaz had something to tell her. He said, verse number 12, it is true that I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit, there is a kinsman nearer than I. And so what he reveals to her is this. He is willing to act as kinsman. He is a near kinsman, but there is someone else who's closer. And here is integrity. Because, friend, let me tell you, he was not willing to put himself before the nearer kinsman. He was willing to take the second place. And I have to tell you this, honestly before God, if it had been my choice, I did not want to leave this place. But it's God's will. I have to do it. And this is what Boaz was saying. Ruth, I love you. And I'm willing to become your kinsman redeemer, but I have to acknowledge there is a kinsman nearer. And I have to act with integrity and with honesty. And I have to put my own personal interest into the background to do what is right in the sight of God. But he gives her this assurance. Look at verse 13. He says, tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning that if he will perform unto thee the part of the kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman part. I'm willing to take the humble place. But if he will not do the part of the kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of the kinsman to thee as the Lord liveth. He entered into a covenant. He says, I'll play the part of the kinsman if he will not do it. He assures her promptly and personally. He assures her that he's willing to do it. It's not a lack of willingness. But he has got to be willing to do what's right in the sight of God. But he says something else to her. He says, verse 14, he told her to lie down at his feet until the morning. And then he went on as this, verse number 18, says, sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he hath finished the thing this day. That was the words of Naomi. Naomi knew that Boaz would honor his word. And so he told her to lie down at his feet until the morning. And then early in the morning, he told her to rise because he didn't want anyone to mar the testimony that she had. But he filled her shawl with barley. Notice, I think this is lovely here. It says, verse 17, and she said, these 6 measures of barley give he me, for he said unto me, go not empty unto thy mother-in-law. Wasn't that what Naomi said whenever she came back? I went out full, but I come home empty. And now Boaz said, don't go empty-handed. But he gave her 6 measures of barley. It was a token of his love. A token of his affection. Well, I'm trying to rush this through this as quick as possible. Verse 16, let's go back to. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, who art thou, my daughter? There's the return. Now you say to me, why did Naomi ask such a stupid question? Who art thou, my daughter? Surely she knew who she was. But friend, you've missed it. You've missed it if that's what you think. What she was saying to her was this. She was making an inquiry of Ruth. She was saying to her, listen, are you now betrothed to Boaz? Is he willing to take you as his wife? Are you becoming Mrs. Boaz? Who are you? Because you see, that's what she sent her with a purpose to be betrothed unto. See, a person was betrothed for a year. That betrothal was for a year. Would last for a year, but it was as equal to and as important as marriage itself. Has he committed himself to you? Are you going to become Mrs. Boaz? And that's why she asked the question, who art thou? And you notice, I love this. Look at verse number 16. And Ruth told Naomi all. She told her all that the man had done to her. She told her all. She opened up her heart. She was able to say, listen, listen, he has told me that he is a near kinsman. He's acknowledging that he is willing to become my husband, but there is a nearer kinsman. She told her all. And then she said, Naomi, look, look what he gave me. You know, he loves me. It's not that he's not willing to become my husband, but he's a man of integrity. And friend, that quickly brings us to chapter 4. Because the next morning, he did what he said. What he was going to do, it says in verse number 1, then went Boaz up to the gate. When? The morning. He was not going to rest. Naomi was right. He will not rest until he hath finished the thing this day. And he did not rest, because in the morning he went to the gate. Now you can write one word over chapter 4. Redeemed. Redemption. That's what the chapter 4 is all about. And I want you to look at here, because we're going to see the redeeming work of Boaz. If you look at verse number 10 of chapter 4. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife. He has redeemed her. He has purchased her to be his wife as part of the obligation in buying the land. Now, very quickly, let me explain this. Ruth is a picture of the church. And Boaz is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, keep that in your heart and mind. Ruth is a picture of the church. And Boaz is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has redeemed the church, the heavenly bride. Now, notice the Redeemer here, verses 1 to 6. You see, in ancient Israel, there were laws that governed this action. There was the law of the kinsman redeemer. And there was the law of the Levirate marriage. And both of these two came into operation here. God gave the children of Israel land by families. And God desired that the land would stay in the family's name. And sometimes an owner falls in hard times and he mortgaged his land. And he had to sell it to somebody else. But God had a plan of what could happen. A near relative could redeem that land. He could buy it back. And he was called the kinsman redeemer. But there was something else. If a man married and he had no children and then he died, then his brother was to take that widow. He was to marry her and he was to raise up in his brother's name. He was to raise up a family so that he would keep the family name. It would be perpetuated for the generations. It wouldn't be lost in the generations to come. You see, to the Jew, the land and the family name was important. Now, the kinsman redeemer could fulfill both of these obligations, both the redemption of the land and also the marriage and redemption of the family name. Now, Boaz was a kinsman. Ruth was a widow. He was willing to fulfill the obligation. He was willing to redeem the land, to buy the land from Naomi. He was willing also to redeem Ruth. But there were three things necessary: relationship, resources, and also readiness. The redeemer had to have and fulfill a legal requirement. In other words, relationship, kinsman. The redeemer had to have resources to buy the land. But he also had to have the willingness to do it, the readiness. Now let's look at it. Boaz is a picture of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. relationship. He was a near kinsman. In other words, his relationship was right. He had the right to redeem. He had said to Ruth, I'm happy to fulfill that duty, but I'm not the first in line to do it. Somebody is nearer than I. Now, I want you to get this, because this is the gospel. There is someone that's nearer than I. Now, in the morning, as promised, he went to the gate of the city. That was the place where the decisions were made, the place of government. That's where matters were settled with the elders at the gate. And do you notice it says there in verse number 1, then went Boaz to the gate and sat him down there, and behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by. In other words, providentially, God had that man there at the right place at the right time. He didn't have to go to look for him. He was there. And I tell you this, when God's opening up his will, friend, God will make it clear. You want to know the will of God? I'll tell you this. If you're walking with God, God will make it clear. And so therefore Boaz shouted to him. He says, ho, such an one. Hi, come here. Sit down at the gate. Sit down. When he sat down, Boaz explained to him, verse number 3, Naomi that has come again out of the country of Moab selleth a parcel of ground which was our brother's Elimelech, and I thought to advertise thee, saying, buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it, but if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me that I may know, for there is none to redeem it beside thee, and I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem it. So without counting the cost, the nearer kinsman says, I'll redeem it. I'll do it. You see, he thought he could. He thought he could. And immediately he responded, I'll buy it. I will redeem it. But then Boaz said, listen, there's another part of the obligation. You have not only to purchase a land, you've got to purchase Ruth. And you've got to raise up a family to Mahlon's name, so his name does not depart out of the tribes of Israel. Notice what he said. Verse 6. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. You see, friend, now he says, no. He quickly replied, yes, but now he says, no, I cannot. And why could he not do it? He says, because if I do it, I will mar mine inheritance. In other words, I will be buying the ground, and I will be buying Ruth. And I'll be paying my money. But the ground will not be mine. It'll be raised up for Mahlon's name. In other words, he was thinking of himself. All he cared about was himself. So he says, I can't do it because it would hurt me. It would corrupt my own inheritance. It would corrupt my name. This name, this land wouldn't be under my name. It would be under Mahlon's name. So I'm losing out on it. So I can't do it. In other words, he would be spending his money in purchasing the ground. But then the land would be left in the name of Ruth's former husband. So he says, no. Now tell me, he was the nearer kinsman that said, I will redeem, and now he can't. Notice, I cannot. Here's the question. If the kinsman redeemer, Boaz, represents Christ, who does the nearer kinsman represent? And why could he not redeem her? Who was the closer relative? I'll tell you simply. He represented Adam, the old man, the first man, Adam. Nature. And friend, let me tell you this. The Bible will tell us and explain simply, we are either in Adam or we're in Christ, one or the other. The Word of God says, in Adam all die, in Christ shall all be made alive. He is the near relative we all have, the old Adam nature. But it cannot redeem us. It can't. It can't redeem us. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Now, I want you to notice something else. Notice there were men called to be witnessed. Look at verse 2. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city, and he says, sit ye down here, you're to be witnesses. And if this man cannot redeem and is not willing to redeem, I want you to hear it. What do the 10 men represent? The 10 commandments. 10 commandments. And friend, that's the law of God. And you and I have broken God's law. The law of God hangs together. Whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend on one point, he is guilty of all, and God demands perfection. But we've all fallen short. Man of himself cannot save himself. Why? Because he has a corrupt nature. He has broken the law of God. And the 10 witnesses tell us we cannot redeem ourselves. You can't redeem yourself. 10 commandments remind us that we're sinners. God says, thou shalt not. And yet we have. God says, thou shalt, and yet we haven't. It reminds us that at best, we are sinners. And we're lost and without hope. Friend, I trust that you'll always remember this preacher as he stood in this pulpit telling you that at best, you and I, every last one of us, were born in sin, and we were shapen in iniquity, and of ourselves we will never be able to make it to heaven. We need someone else that's able, because self cannot. No matter how much you try, yourself, you'll never make it. You'll never be able to purchase a place in heaven. And so the kinsman said, the nearer kinsman said, acknowledges, I can't. I would to God this morning that every one of us would acknowledge that that's true. I cannot redeem myself. But quickly, notice quickly, there was one who is next in line, and he could, and thank God he would. Now remember the three requirements: the close relationship, and the Lord Jesus, let me tell you, listen, to become our kinsman redeemer, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God the Son, left the glories of heaven, and he humbled himself, and he took upon himself human flesh to become our near kinsman. That's what the incarnation was all about. He took upon himself the form of a man. That's why he came into the world. Why did the great eternal God become man? To be our kinsman redeemer, to redeem us from the curse of the law. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, it says this: for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them, or redeem them, who through fear of death were at all their lifetime subject to bondage. That's why he came, friend. He became man to be our near kinsman. And thank God he's worthy to redeem us. He's worthy. Our estate was lost in Adam. But thank God there's a kinsman redeemer in Christ Jesus. Relationship. Secondly, resources. You had to have the ability, the resources to redeem. 1 Peter chapter 1. It says, ye know that you're not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold, but you're redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. Chapter 4 and verse 8, it says this, therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, buy it for thee. Buy it for thee. And that's what Jesus did, friend. He purchased our redemption. He bought us. And he brought us unto himself by his precious, precious blood. Ephesians 1 verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Yes, there had to be the resources to redeem. And thank God our kinsman redeemer, in the coinage of his precious blood, he has redeemed us to himself. Notice in verse number 10, it says this, moreover, Ruth, have I purchased to be my wife. Purchased. This morning, can I ask you a question? Could you sing the hymn we sang? I am redeemed. Oh, praise the Lord, my soul from bondage free. Have found in him a resting place, in him who died for me. I looked and lo, from Calvary's cross a healing fountain streamed. It cleansed my heart, and now I sing, praise God, I am redeemed. Yes, he had the relationship. He became man. Took upon himself the form of a man, humbled himself. And then, with his own precious blood, thank God, he redeemed us. And then notice the readiness. It says, redeem or buy it for thee. And he took off his shoe. What was that about? You see, friend, what happened was this. If a man was not willing to redeem, then he would take off his shoe and he would hand it to the one who was. And thank God there, although we have Ruth, a Moabitess, under the curse, now she has been redeemed by Boaz. And the kinsman takes off his shoe. The shoe was that which trod upon the land. And to draw it off and pass it to another indicated that all the claims upon the property had passed from one to another. Let me tell you this. Christ stood in our shoes at Calvary. He took our place. He became our substitute. The flesh could not do it. But thank God Jesus could. And you know, he took the place. Boaz took the place of the near kinsman. And Christ took our place at Calvary. I wish I had time to develop it, but I haven't. My last thought is this. Do you notice what Ruth got in this redemption? She got a family. She got a family. Not only had she Boaz, but God blessed her with a son. And God gave her a family. God gave her favor. Look at verse 11. And all the people that were in the gate of the elders said, "We are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that has come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah, which two did build the house of Israel." She had the favor of the elders of the people. They looked upon her and desired her divine favor. Notice, the woman make thee, or the Lord make the woman which has come, like Rachel and Leah. Divine favor. And then she had fame, because they said this. It says, be famous, verse 11, and be famous in Bethlehem, to obtain a name. And then she had fruitfulness, because it said in verse 12, and let thy house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bare unto Judah, of the seed which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman. And then she got a future. Verse 16. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nurse unto it. And the woman, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, this is a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse. He's the father of David in the ancestry of Christ. What a future. Friends, as I finish this morning, the Lord is not finished with his people yet. For God can do much more than this. It is my earnest prayer that the Lord will bless you. The Lord will keep you. The Lord will lift up the light of his countenance upon you and be gracious unto you. May God give you grace day by day to follow him. And as our brother stands in the pulpit next Sunday morning, Brother McKee, and takes the charge which I've had the privilege of having for 50 years, I pray that God will bless him and use him, and that together you'll stand by the cross. Uplift the Savior, as I've sought to do in this final message. Point you to him. And if you're not saved, may God save you today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we bow in thy holy presence. We thank thee for our lovely Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee that he is worthy of all our worship and all our praise. O God, I pray that thou will bless this congregation, help them to keep their eyes upon Christ. Help Brother McKee to preach Christ Sunday by Sunday. Exalt the Savior. Help the elders of this congregation to be true to the separatist stand outside the camp of apostasy, that they may never compromise the stand that their forefathers had taken. in the building of this place. And we pray that thou would honor the preaching of the gospel. Give them souls for Christ. In Jesus' name. Amen. Sing the words of the hymn 480. And God's people are asked to meet around the table of the Lord. And if, for those that will not be here this evening, I trust you will if you can, if we never meet again this side of heaven, be sure to meet me there.